Welcome to the Talk and Smash podcast. I'm your host, Matt Hetherington, joined today by Craig Bryant, former England international cadet junior and senior, won a silver medal at the Commonwealth Championships with the England team, and has become quite a renowned coach in the UK and now around the world. Anyone who follows table tennis online will be pretty familiar with Tom Lodziak's video, 4 killer serves to destroy your opponents. That's one of Craig's many videos. And now, of course, you have set yourself up on Instagram to do a lot of serve education and some fun serve videos. And that is at the TT Service Guy, which I will throw on screen so that people can follow you. Craig, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, no problem at all. Yeah, well known in the UK, definitely. I'm sure a few people know me worldwide, but that's the objective, hopefully, in the next couple of years.
So it's a work in progress. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. I've seen the content. I've reviewed it. I know the direction that it's going in. I'm pretty confident.
Okay.
By the end of the year, we'll be bumping at least 5 figures.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed it'll happen.
Well, you're the perfect person for me to have on the podcast for this topic, because the topic is serve. Obviously, for this podcast, I really want to delve into areas that are a little bit less talked about. And one of the things for me as a coach is how kind of underrated service practice is and how overlooked it is. And you're a player who has a very high level of serve, particularly compared to the rest of your game. I remember Pitch and Paul, when they did their podcast during the lockdown, they had a discussion about who had a really high level of serve or who had a service level that was, you know, significantly higher compared to other areas of their game. And both Pitchford and Paul Drinkle both mentioned your name. So some international recognition there from the boys at home.
That's nice of them to say, because I cannot tell you the last time that I troubled either of them with my serves. they are the next level, but that's nice of them to say.
So we'll start with the really obvious question, and one that you've probably answered a number of times. Service in table tennis, how important is it? How much of an advantage can you get from having a good serve? Even as a player, you know, perhaps like a mediocre recreational player, what doors do you feel that service can open up at any level of the game?
I think the more you come down to the intermediate beginner level, I think serves have a bigger impact. I think in the higher level, it can be more significant. 1 or 2 points added to your game is very significant when when all those top levels are so close to one another. That little extra spin or a little bit of deception can make a significant difference. But with the majority of us, you know, playing at that intermediate, the national and regional competition level, it can turn 3-0 losses into 3-0 wins. You know, if you're losing 11-9, 11-9, 11-9, you know, dedicating some time to your serve can add 2 or 3 points to your game, potentially. And that is, transformative. It can take your game to new levels for sure.
Yeah, I actually remember in the US, they had a charity exhibition event, and it was in Vegas, and it was Chris Paul, the NBA player, and he would invite all of these NBA players, you know, that have like Steph Curry and a bunch of other well-known NBA players to raise money for things. And he would basically invite them to this ping pong tournament, and, you know, some of them could hit a ball. None of them really had any significant skills, but Chris Paul could serve. He had this kind of, somebody had taught him how to do like a backhand side spin serve. And he was the only one who could serve even remotely well. And he was just inviting these guys to this tournament so that he could crush them. Like they had no chance at all. Just same serve, backhand serve, side spin. They touch the ball, it goes flying out. Chris Paul is just wiping the floor at them. And I always tell people, especially beginners, when they're like, well, now I'm starting to play matches, what can make a big difference for me? I'm like, get yourself a good serve, get a tricky serve. People struggle a lot with receive. So yeah, it can definitely open up a lot of windows, even at the, you know, even when you're just picking up the spot.
That's a great example. If all he's got is a serve, he beats all of his mates. You know, that shows how significant it can be. You know, one thing. It's a good example.
So here's an interesting question for you, because my answer is probably going to differ a lot. When you were growing up, when you were training a lot, take me through the roadmap of your career of how much you were service practicing or how important it was, because you assume that somebody who has a good serve has practiced it a lot.
Yeah. So I think I probably got to about 13 or 14 and I had lots of different serves and they were all okay. And it was Alan Cook that said to me, you know, you've got all these serves, which one do you think is your best serve? And I said, I think it's, you know, the hook or jab serve, whatever you want to call it. I think that's my strongest serve.
Yeah.
And he quite simply said, just go away and master that serve. Just go and figure out. So he didn't give me any technical knowledge or, you know, in-depth insight into how to create lots of different things. But he did help give me some focus in an area. So it was about age 14 then when I really started to ramp up not only my service practice, time on the table, but what I was going to do with it and how much spin I could create and how many illusions I could create. And it was at that age that I became fascinated with serving because my focus was directed quite specifically. And then after I would say 3, 4, 5, 6 months maybe of playing around with things, you build up a bit of confidence to use this stuff in match play. You start to cause people problems. You start to beat people that you hadn't beaten before. I distinctly remember, I don't know if you know a guy called Greg Baker, who was head coach of the British Para Table Tennis. He left not too long ago. I lost to him 15 times in a row, as you know, between the ages of 10 and 14 or something. And at 16, I beat him and never lost to him again after that. Now, I'm sure there were other factors as well, but that was around the time that my serve started to develop too. I started picking up wins that I hadn't before. And my forehand hadn't particularly got any better. My backhand hadn't particularly got any better. But my serves had. So for me, that was the determining factor to my progression at that age. So that made a huge difference, just having a focus.
Do you feel like, I mean, your serve, I've seen some of your matches from the Belgian League and I've seen you playing like, you know, players like Save and like Ryko Gomez and stuff. Your serve is still able to give them a lot of trouble. These are great players. And I've seen some of your matches and the serve has just made a huge difference for you. It's great to watch.
It's very satisfying and gratifying when players of that level are having problems. And for me, they have problems. I think one, because they've not seen anything like that before, or probably not seen it too much. And for me, I suppose going through that adulthood phase of 18, 19, 20, I really paid a lot of attention to the detail of how the serve looked and the flight of the ball and how to really make it look like something else. And I think by that stage, I'd perfected those skills when I was playing in Belgium. So I think I really was able to show them, you know, they thought they were seeing something else. And that's when they were making mistakes. But yeah, that's just great confirmation that I'd nailed something when you're fooling. I mean, Save, I think, was the longest standing number one in the world, 16 weeks, something like that.
Yeah,
it was. But
I think it was like 15 months, I think.
So, yeah, you know, to be able to do something like that to someone with such a legacy is quite remarkable. So, yeah, pleasing.
And that lives forever on YouTube now.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so were you like very strict with your with your service practice in terms of how often you did it and how kind of how it was structured? Or was that, did that change also during your, I mean, obviously like a lot of younger kids, they start to take more interest in self-practice sometimes,
yeah,
not always, but you kind of have a, like an evolution of how you approach self practice.
For me, I enjoyed doing it. It was fun for me to do. And I think whatever you enjoy is quite easy to practice. So if I was ready to train and others weren't, I would be there practicing my serve. If we'd finished, I'd practice my serve. In the break, I would practice my serve. No one would have to tell me to. I would just be there thinking about how I can create a little bit of backspin and then try and really replicate this topspin action. And then I'd watch it back on the camera and then know that didn't look quite right. So I was just engrossed in it. So I think the key difference was that I enjoyed doing it. And therefore it was easy for me to do. I think many people don't enjoy it. And I think that's one partly because
the vast majority.
Yeah. One. And I think because people aren't confident in teaching it or delivering it, I think that's passed across and then players don't get any enthusiasm from it. Often it's right, we're going to do service practice for 20 minutes. Right, off you go. And coach has his back on the wall and his phone out or whatever. And it's, you're not getting that attention. So I suppose I'm not saying that everyone needs to enjoy it, but there are things that you can do to create a focus and to create enjoyment and attention and being able to change the task from time to time to keep your focus. And I think they're probably the things that are missed.
That actually leads kind of perfectly into the next question is, obviously now that you've kind of moved on from playing and you've been coaching more, generally, how do you feel about, from what you've seen and from what you've experienced, how do you feel about how other coaches approach service practice? I mean, my experience here in the US is they're very vocal about it. You know, they might finish a private lesson, a one-to-one lesson, and then at the end of it, like, go and practice your serve. You have to practice your serve. But then they're off teaching the next lesson. And you have a kid that goes off to a bucket of balls and just races through as fast as they can, or nobody really knows what's going on, let alone the kid.
Yeah.
So in your experience, do you feel that the education part of people not actually learning how to manage their own service practice is quite a big factor in it as well?
Yeah, I think it's a missed opportunity from coaches. I think we always, you know, myself including that, you want to feel like you're doing stuff and having an impact. And often that results in having someone out of breath on the other side of the table because you've given them a beasting with multi-ball and you feel like, right, I've done my job and look,
they're fulfilled. Yeah,
they're struggling. So they've done their job, pat on the back, and we're both brilliant and satisfied. Whereas working with someone for 20 minutes on their serve is slow and it's technical and it's a mental challenge, not physically demanding. And I think, and it can take a long time to see some form of success as well. So it's tough from a coaching perspective when you're not seeing progress in a few minutes and maybe the parents sat on the side and they're thinking, what's going on here? So it's a hard one to manage, but it's an absolute missed opportunity that we don't engage enough in that. And I think that's partly for the reasons that I've said, and maybe a lack of confidence or understanding in wanting to deliver that. I mean, there was a phase for me where I went from playing to coaching and people want to know how I do my serves, but I'd never taught my serves before. I knew how to serve, but I never knew how to teach my serves. I could show people what I do. So there was also a phase as a young coach where I'm trying to, you know, break down my own serves and think about what are crucial teaching points and what people pick up easy and what they find difficult. And so I suppose that's what I've been doing for the past 9 or 10 years is understanding teaching methods to let everyone know. So a good example of that is that top players or competent players, they can't always articulate what they do. They're very good at doing. So yeah, that teaching and passing of information is a separate skill on its own.
Yeah. I think the tragedy of it is that you have players that are being sent to do serve practice, maybe at the end of each session. And all of that time being kind of not misguided, but unguided, it doesn't really get them anywhere. You have all of this repetition. Maybe they're doing service practice 3 times a week, but without any scope or focus, is it really helping the serve that much? And for the majority of the players, it doesn't elevate really anything. And you end up with, young players who are putting in the time to do the service practice and not really seeing much improvement in their serve or their service game at all.
So
it's kind of unfortunate as well. Yeah.
It's described as naive practice. Yeah. Where you're just repetition for repetition's sake. And not only is it not progressive, it's sometimes detrimental as well. They'll go backwards. I suppose to liken it to something, imagine we were practicing our forehand topspin 3 times a week for 20 minutes. We've practiced our forehand topspin for years and years, multiple times. We're not going to get any better.
Yeah, mine's still terrible.
Come on now. We've seen the videos. The fade is down. So yeah,
it's okay when it goes on.
That's what we've got editing for, Matt. So you practice your forehand 3 times a week for 20 minutes. It's not going to get any better just practicing your forehand. And it's the same with the serve. The frustrating part is it's quite simple to correct. If you genuinely don't have time to spend with someone and you want to set them something and you need to head off to another session, it's very easy to set them some sort of challenge. If you want them to practice their long fast serve down the line, for example, you can use some form of target to hit, that's fine. But you can say, you have to serve 5 short serves with 2 bounces before you get an attempt at the long fast one. And then there's an agenda straight away. Then they've got to work on consistency of their short serve and to be able to control it enough that they get 2 bounces every time, not 3, not 1. And then there's a bit of pressure on them to execute their long fast serve in an ideal world.
I think that kind of leads on into the next part that I wanted to talk about, which is the quality of the service training is kind of, there's a lack of it being purpose driven. So, you don't have scope that you have players that go, oh, okay, I'm going to go and practice my serve. Which serve? Which variations of that serve? What am I aiming for? Do I have any anything to evaluate against or anything to, there's no feedback because you don't know whether you're succeeding or failing. You don't know what you're measuring. And also, I think, aside from that, I guess people fail to understand that serve is also no less mechanical than learning a forehand loop. Like they don't pay attention necessarily to all these little details that they could change. But when you give them goals, like when you, let's say, you put a towel on the table with, a certain amount of space at the end and say, all of your long fast serves have got to get over this towel. And to do that, you need to drive more through your waist. You need to make sure where this first bounce is going, all of these little details. I very rarely see that kind of guidance for younger players. So I think, the purpose-driven aspect that you were talking about, and also, putting obstacles in and targets and stuff like that. For me, like when I made my service videos during the lockdown, my thing has always been service practice, unless you're an anomaly like yourself, It's not something that people enjoy, but the main reason is it's your brain turns off. You know, if you're just repeating serve after serve after serve, there's nothing to engage you. There's no challenge. You don't feel that necessity to change things or improve things. It's one of the things like I always love doing, obviously, for people who've seen my Instagram, is different serve challenges. You know, can I make the ball deviate more? Can I make the bounce sharper? You know, can I curve the ball around and make it kick backwards, or do these kind of more like go serve demonstrations and stuff like that? For me, I was always looking for different ways to improve my contact as much as I could. That was kind of my shtick. And if I could do that with the other parts of my game, maybe I would have gotten further.
Well, I think I'm in the same boat.
I've always felt that purpose-driven practice has been the kind of the missing gap for service.
Yeah. And it's one, having a purpose, but two, having a coach help you find that purpose. You know, have they just seen, you know, I don't know what Alan saw with my serve, but maybe just saw a bit more competency with that technique, and that's fine. That gives me something to work towards. Maybe it's feedback from a match where actually they're getting in off of this serve, so we need to work on this one and make it tighter or spinnier or whatever it may be. But like you said, there's a reason for working on that. And in having that focus, the goal becomes very clear, and you need to maintain that goal. It's very easy to get distracted by all the variety that there is with serving. You know, so if you're wanting to produce more spin on your serve and you're focusing on the contact and where it's landing and how quick your wrist is accelerating through, that's the main objective to start with. Often what happens is when we're practicing that, we'll serve in the net and we'll make a mistake, or it bounces off the end or whatever it may be, and then we're concerned with getting the ball on, which of course that is, you know, that's where we want to be at the end. But when you try and get the ball on, you end up losing the quality in the serve. So, you know, working in steps, and this is where a coach can obviously help massively with those various steps that you need to take. But, you know, can we improve the contact first, whether the ball is on or not? Yes. Okay, right, now how do we get the ball on and keep that same quality? Right, no, the ball's on, but we've lost the quality. Right, let's go back to the quality.
Right.
But that changing of task and focus is what keeps you focused, rather than serving 1,000 short serves.
Right.
Yeah.
I have a little, I've got a little curveball to throw at you here, just for fun, just to break things up a little.
I'm ready.
So I've in these podcasts decided to throw in little small features, and I've decided to call this one Box Office Hit. So he's wondering what the hell am I talking about? So basically, the concept is, and you can have as much fun with this as you like, if there was going to be a blockbuster movie about the table tennis career of Craig Bryant, what would it be called?
Oh, jeez. This is getting personal now. Many stories. Hey,
that's up to you. It could be.
Oh, where would this go? It would have to be the kicker serve, wouldn't it? The title of it would have to be the kicker serve. I would love to have, and I could probably do a fairly comprehensive list or clips of videos of this, but just a load of videos of people that have pushed the kicker over the years.
That would be your entire movie.
that would be my entire movie. That's a tough question.
I had a couple of good ones. I actually thought about this myself, and I thought the first one I came up was, "Are we there yet?"
in what
if I could describe, if I was thinking about my whole table tennis career.
Oh, right. Okay.
Are we there yet? or maybe it's still a long way to the top.
Yeah.
I think those are kind of the two.
Yeah. I mean, you've just ignited a bit of thought there for me, but you know, in understanding all the work and effort that I put into my serves over the years, just showed me how much I neglected the other areas. And I just focused on the things that I enjoyed. And you know, seeing players when I was 19, 20 years old that I'd beaten, you know, mm-hmm. excelled to the top. You know, there's players that I've beaten that are in the top 30 of the world. And that at the time was hard to take, probably because I knew that I didn't put the same amount of work in all of the areas. So yeah, that would certainly be the sad moment of the blockbuster of where I didn't quite throw everything at the opportunities that I had. But yeah, that is what it is. We are where we are.
Kick yourself.
And
I like that. Well, maybe one day. Keep your eyes peeled on the box office.
Well, there might be a new box office in 3 years when I hit 40 years old on the veteran circuit. So we'll see.
We'll keep our eyes out. Actually, it was quite funny how you mentioned about, you know, having that little bit of regret that you might not have worked on other parts of your game as much. Funny story, when I moved to the US, before I moved to the US, my serve was actually quite bad. I was never kind of looked at as a player who had even remotely a good serve at all. And I moved to the US, and once I moved to the US, I discovered very quickly that everything in the US is all you can eat. Everywhere you go to sushi, you go to Chinese buffet, everything's all you can eat. And I think within like the first year that I'd been here, I'd put on so much weight. And I was like, oh, I'm playing table tennis. I'm getting so slow and just having trouble beating anyone. And I can't move to my forehand anymore. And so the biggest challenge for me became, how can I get people to return the ball to my backhand all the time? Or how can I get the ball to go exactly where I want it? And that for me was kind of, I don't really understand what happened. It was almost not that deliberate. I did some service practice, but not a huge amount. But I was very conscious of like, when I was practicing service, really trying to get the most out of it that I could. And before I knew it, I had people coming into the club and Lily Yip, who was the coach of the club, she was like, oh, you got to take a lesson for the serve return with Matt. It's the best server. And I was like, nobody has ever said that I was a good server. Like when I moved to this country, my serve was worse than the rest of my entire game. Problem being, as my serve got better, I then got lazier because I could afford to be. You know, if I served well and I played against someone, they hit the ball exactly where I wanted, I don't have to move. Not a big deal. So I kind of had that same dilemma. My service level went up and my footwork just went to shit in just such a quick manner. Definitely won't see me stepping around on the forehand as much these days.
There's a few interesting things in that. That's really good. It just shows you how useful it is, one, to have a purpose, which we've spoken about already, and you had a purpose that you want more balls to your backhand. The other pivotal thing is that you didn't really know how or why that happened. And often players don't need to understand. They might want to understand, but they don't need to understand. In fact, the more they unpick it, the more it goes, you know, start overthinking things, and then it's tough to retain those skills. So two great examples that you were trying to achieve something and you weren't quite sure how you got there. And then it shows you how important it is that when you focus on one area, it's all about balance as well. You know, we have to work on our forehand, our consistency, our footwork. It's obviously it's a very dynamic game that we play, and there's lots of aspects to it. But yeah, as well as being renowned for a decent server, I was also renowned for being a lazy player as well, with poor footwork. So yeah, I've got a couple of accolades. But yeah, I had a guy in Belgium say to me after the match, he walked around the hall, came right up to me and said, "To me, you are slow, but you are everywhere."
You're slow, but you're everywhere.
Slow, right. But you're everywhere. I was like, I think that's a compliment. Thank you.
Is it? Yeah, yeah. Is it? That's great. Okay, we'll move to a, I wouldn't say it's a more heated area of discussion, but I guess one of the things that I like to talk about a little bit is what are some of the things that you see in service practice that frustrate you immensely? I mean, you know, when you see other kids or other students or other people out there with a box of balls and you see them practicing your serves, what are those kind of small handful of things that you see where you just stand there and just shake your head and think, oh, like you just wish you could run over and be just shake them and tell them?
Yeah, I think lots of description, lots of instruction, often too much instruction. It's so complex services, you know. If you think just about doing a pendulum serve, there's so many parts of your arm that are moving and a timing point and where it lands on the table, and people can't comprehend that much information. You know, you're often just given one or two things to think about. So often that overwhelming them with content is quite frustrating because you know it doesn't really lead anywhere. That's right up there for me. That's infuriating. The other thing is them trying to impose how they do things on people. I think serving is very individual, and I think a good coach will be able to take a step back and look at a player and go, that's working well, and this looks like why it's not quite working. So that's the bit that I need to help them with. I don't use a lot of body or rotation in my serves. A lot of it is with my hand and my wrist, and I can create what I need to. But often I get that as a question, and it's if you feel that helps you give you more control and you're getting the effect that you need to, then fine. But I suppose where I impose my thoughts there is that if you're turning for one serve and then not turning for a slower one or something, then you're giving things away. So whatever technique you adopt, you need to be consistent with it. But yeah, so it's incredibly individual, and you need to find your way, and a coach should be there to help you unlock those different ways that you're able to execute your serve.
I think one of the things that if I'm just looking at players, one of the things that I see a lot that actually it's probably at the top of the list for me, and I have made an Instagram video about it before, is players just thundering through a box of balls. And, you know, it's like out of the pocket, one serve, two serve, three serve, four serve, five serve. And they pay no attention to what's happening to the ball on the other side of the table. And it's just a rat race to get through to the end of this box to say, go, I finished my surface practice. I'm going home to play video games now. That for me, like when I'm watching people do service practice, drives me nuts. And it's never, you know, I don't actually coach anymore. So I, you know, when I go to the club, I'm just there to play for myself.
Okay.
So these are other people's students. So I don't say anything. I have to internalize all this until now, because I have a podcast and I can say what I want. But seeing people, it just, that for me is the biggest waste of time, to not have any time to digest what's happening. And it just like, you may as well be feeding multi-ball. Like, what does a multi-ball feeder learn from feeding multi-ball? Not that much. It's the person on the other end of the table that's doing the work.
I think if you compare,
drives me nuts.
They could do five serves with a coach just saying, "Can you do this?" Just five serves only.
Yeah,
and they would get more from that than they would from the entire box of just mindlessly serving
200 balls in rapid succession.
Yeah,
yeah. So that's a big one for me. And Probably my biggest pet peeve. We'll move on to the last point. Maybe I thought this would be a good opportunity for you to pick a serve and kind of give an example of like in your thought process, what a good service practice might look like. Like if you were to choose a particular serve and a particular variation, maybe some kind of challenge or something to evaluate during it. Is there anything that pops out to you that you would use frequently?
We might have to come back to this maybe, but the thing that's just popped into my mind is, which is linked to this, but is practicing it against someone. So, you know, we do all of this practice against cones and positions and can we get the ball to spin back and things. But like you said, feedback is so important. So there's absolutely a time and a space for serving on your own. But there's also test day when you've got I've been working on all this deception. I absolutely need to test it out on someone. And if they start hitting your serve past you, then, you know, there's a bit more.
That's feedback. To be That's different. Definitely feedback.
Equally, if they end up flicking your backspin ball in the net, then that's also great feedback. So, yeah, great to do all these tasks and challenges and watch the videos and try and replicate different things. But yeah, there's a time to really test them out and be brave, and it's going to cost you points in league matches and things. Mm. But that's an absolutely vital stage that everyone has to go through. So a routine that I would go through.
Something maybe is, you know, something that you would have your students do. Let's say, I know one of the ones that I used to do, for example, was I would put a towel on the table on the edge. I would leave a very small I would leave a very small gap on the edge of the table.
Yeah.
And for me as a left-hander, working on pendulum serves that really deviated across was important for me, and that serves that I use all the time. And if people figure them out, then it's okay. I don't play that many tournaments anymore. But my goal was always to get the first bounce of the serve towards the center of the table and then have the ball kick over the width of the towel and bounce on the edge, and to try and keep repeating that until I could get to a point where I could actually control it so that, you know, 70 to 80% of my serves were getting that consistent kick basically from the center line of the table out to bouncing a second time right on the edge. So that's an example of something that I used to practice as well.
Yeah, I think probably the most common thing that I do with players is, and my objective is to give them full control of the ball, or for them to reach that level where they feel they have full control. Often people serve with pace and they hit the ball into the table. It's often the bat coming down, the bat's very open and it's very pacey, and the ball drifts half long and people are able to get in. And if you ask them to serve short, they'll often do this, but they'll decelerate, they'll slow down and they'll hit it softer.
Yeah.
So they get their short serve by hitting it softer. So one thing I do, I think I've got a video on this somewhere. It's all a bit of a blur now. I'll put a basket or a back case or something on their own side, and they have to let the ball drop, and they have to lift the ball over the basket on their own side. Then it hits, and then so it completely slows the ball down and they can start to see these huge effects. And if you do it, next time you do like a cone video or a cone challenge or something where it's the ball spinning on the table, if you think about how you deliver the ball into your own side, you'll be lifting the ball onto your side of the table. So that normally creates a bit of a eureka moment from people, and they realize that it's not so much about how much spin can I produce to get these effects, but how you deliver the ball into the table. And it's not that is the only way that you serve, but it gives you variety within that technique. You can really slow it down and keep it really short, or you can hit the back of the ball and get a bit more distance on it as well. Mm. So Yeah, I'm a big advocate for them understanding how to pitch the ball into different, into different parts and into different, using different ways to deliver it.
Fantastic.
Does that make sense?
This is why. Yeah, absolutely. This is why I had, honestly, when I think about when I think about table tennis serves, I really feel like there are very, very few people, even online, that are actually really focused on educating people. There are lots of like nice demonstrations or like, go serve challenges and stuff like that. But I think in terms of people who coach and have a particular knowledge of coaching serve, it's very rare. So
again,
you're very, very high up my list of people to have on the podcast.
It's very easy, Matt. I'm in a space at the minute where I was as a player, where I'm still fascinated with serves, but I'm fascinated how what I can still figure out as a coach, because they're great for videos and for passing that knowledge on.
Yeah.
But I'm fascinated with how to get people to perform skills that they haven't got. That's very gratifying. When someone can't do something and they're frustrated, and you're able just to change their focus a little bit, and using implements to help them. I could tell them, can you lift the ball onto your side? Or I could just stick an obstacle in the way, set some conditions, and they get to figure it out themselves, and they're able to retain those skills much more. And that's interesting to me. So I'm just in this world where I'm still trying to figure things out, and it's fun. So it's easy when it's fun.
And you tell people what you have going on. What kind of stuff? I mean, obviously you have the TT Service Guy is your new Instagram. You've been working pretty hard on that content out there, and we'll make sure that people get out there and follow you. But
yeah,
what else is happening with Craig?
So yeah, I suppose the purpose of setting that page up was to at some point release some form of online coaching. So I've been doing online coaching for 2 or 3 years with a handful of people. It's gone surprisingly well. I thought, again, it was lockdown, I suppose, which induced that. We had to do that with a lot of the players that we were working with. And we saw progress in areas. Games declined in other areas for obvious reasons, but we saw good progress in a number of areas. So that, for me, was a bit of a moment where this could be something. So it's an idea I've been sitting on for a little while, and now I've had an opportunity to do it. So, yeah, I've started to build a bit of an audience, and it's at the minute it's growing every day, which is great. I'm getting videos out every day. I'm sure that will slow down at some point, and it'll be 3 times a week or something at some point.
It's tough. It's tough. But I don't know. The good thing about serve is that you can. There's a lot of stuff you can do.
Yeah.
And for someone like you said, when you're really, really passionate about something and interested in something, especially something so creative, there's a lot you can do with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've now been posting every day. Oh, coming up on like 2.5 years, which I never. I mean, if you look back at that and think. You're looking at like close to 1,000 posts. It's doable. It's definitely doable, and it does pay off in a lot of.
That's what's interesting.
I was kind of lucky.
If someone asked you that question 2.5 years ago, right, Matt, from today, you have to post a video every day. Yeah, exactly. And the same for me. Obviously I'm way behind you in terms of the progress that you've made. But even getting this off the ground, if someone told me everything that I needed to do and set up in the background, I probably wouldn't start it. So the key thing was that I just started. But
just start.
Just start. Yeah. The 1st of June is when I'm going to start my online coaching. There's going to be a few different packages available. Some for those that just want a little bit of advice. Some for those that want to work a bit more consistently over the course of a month. I see it working in a way where people will send me videos and they outline what they're trying to achieve or a particular serve they're trying to work on. And then they'll get feedback, they'll get a video back, and then they'll have some interaction, questions. Depending on the package, they'll get a plan. So there's things ready to go, and I'm looking forward to seeing how it's going to work out.
The good news is that now I need to hustle to get all my podcasts in line. And at least by the time this is actually out, this will all be set up. So people will know exactly where to go. They'll know exactly what to look at. So it'd be perfect. This has been great. Honestly, I think at some point, hopefully you'll come back on here and we'll have some other things to talk about, because this is, for me, the reason why I started the podcast, to try and talk to like-minded people and really throw some light on some areas that are, you know, not talked about that much. So this has been fun. This has been really great. And keep your eye out. Hopefully we'll be doing some more the Kicker Serve collaborations, and we'll see you in the box office.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you for having me on, mate. It was really good. I don't always get to chew serves over. I don't get to chat about them a lot. My friends and Stephen Gertson, a business partner of mine, they're incredibly bored of me talking about all of this stuff. So it's nice to chew it over and talk about it all in some detail.
Cool. Thanks very much, Craig.
Cool. Thank you.